Hi, it's Kurt Bowen from The Lever, and now you're listening to my second chapter from As the Story Grows. Hi, this is Kurt Bachman, and maybe this is a third chapter coming to you right now.
We're in the blooper reel, though.
As the Story Grows.
Hit stop, we're good.
All right, good.
What would you say you do here? Have a good time.
Are you blathering about?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man.
Realistic. What do you love about music?
I am being realistic.
As the story grows.
Travis, make him wait for it. Boom.
Good?
I think we're good. Yeah.
Okay.
Let me just go to the end and make sure everything's being recorded.
Yeah, go ahead, man. Again, I don't whatever.
We've got good signal. A couple peaks, a couple like stuff, but
couple peaks. Yeah,
exactly. That's great.
Yeah, we're good. Dimensions came out.
Yep.
Roadrunner Records.
Yep.
Amazing album. I don't mean to kiss your ass, but dude, Dimensions to this day holds up.
Thank you.
Thanks. Trilogy of Knowledge. Come on.
Had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah. Dude, it was it was.
Yeah, Scott wrote, it was funny because it was funny, like lyrically, you know, Scott, we were like, yeah, I mean, there's got to be some, like, you know, there's Diaz Aire, and it's like, okay, there's like my voice, there's Julianne's voice, and we should make this kind of almost like an opera type of thing back and forth. And Scott's like, I want to do it about the like Genesis and like the existence of man. Like, you're the devil. And it's still, I'm like, dude, whatever. Sounds good to me. Whatever you want to do. You know what I mean? The writing of that was pretty awesome. And then there, that's where we rolled dice for some of the sections.
Where specifically, do you remember any?
It was at the intro, and it was interesting because it's a weird kind of like 12 tone thing. There's guitar, there's violin. She's singing one of the lines. So it was, we assigned a note to each die. And then we assigned a rhythm to each die, rolled the dice, you know, to get the pattern.
Got it.
And then you can do, you know, it's kind of music theory. You can invert that. Okay. Like, you know, like take a note and invert it completely down
right.
to the bass.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can elongate. So you can double or quadruple the length of the rhythm, right? So if it's a 16th, you know, you can get a quarter, or you can... You know, you have certain rules that you want to abide by, and Julianne sang, and we had her walking. We had a 360 microphone, and we had her walking around that as she's kind of singing. And I forget what it's. It's an intro to one of the pieces, okay. One of the songs of Trilogy of Knowledge. But there was like stuff like that. Like we did a lot of things, and I forget it was like 48 tracks of strings, and it was insane.
Good
to
Lord,
mix.
That must have been fun to mix.
It was crazy, and. Yeah, and so that was really cool. That was fun to write. That was a lot of fun to write.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
Where'd you go?
I'm gonna be a scientist.
And
I went back to school.
Believe or disbelieve,
it was interesting because
years.
I think it was also kind of a
back you know, to school.
So it would be back because like after I, it was funny because we got signed when I was in high school, but we weren't touring yet. And, you know, I remember like sitting there with my mom in my guidance counselor's office in high school. And they were like, where are you going to college? Like Harvard. And I was like, I'm going on tour, man. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. You know? Like, my hair was like really long. Like, I'm going to tour. So you know,
school, I mean, hard knocks.
God bless
bitch.
My parents, man. Because like my parents, I mean, I'll tell you what, like they were like, they're probably like, who is this kid? Like he's my mom thinks I was abducted by aliens and stuff like that. It's funny,
sure,
but you know, because like I don't fit the mold of like the family and stuff. You know, I have an older sister. She went to college, went to nursing school, got married, kids.
Right.
Kurt's like going on tour. Like this is bizarre. He's like, I went to one semester of like college and then I quit and went on tour. And
okay.
The only thing I remember about that semester is I got a B in physics because I was arguing theories with my physics professor. I didn't believe. At that time, I was like, do I believe in gravity? I don't know if I believe in gravity. It's a force. I was like,
it is just the theory.
It was all this crazy.
Anyway, right.
We didn't get along. But but no, it was and then we went, and then it was Believer full time for 5 years.
Full time.
Paid your bills, yes.
Wow.
And then I was like, you know, guys, I want to go back to school, man. I wanna finish this thing out. I think it was a good time. Honestly, in the from a business angle, I think thrash was kind of starting to come down at that time. Death metal was really starting to come up.
Would have been 93-ish?
93, 94, yeah. Like thrash was kind of, you know, record sales for thrash bands was kind of, you know, going on its, you know, going lower.
Okay.
And death metal was coming up. That was when death metal was
But really, I think you fit there.
Well, we didn't because of the vocals, right? Like, so we didn't have the death vocals, right? You know, I mean, and you know, I can't do the death, like the low, you know, type of stuff.
Oh.
I can now because I'm ill, but
sure, because you have a chest thing.
Yeah, chest.
But yeah. When you say death metal, I actually always thought you kind of sounded like Chuck Schuldiner, and
so Chuck was really interesting. Chuck was really interesting because, like, Chuck. But he still had this different, like, lower way. I was kind of this higher European thrash, you know, whether it's Creator or Destruction, like, or Sacrifice. Like, I was kind
okay,
of.
Okay, I'll give you that.
I had a little bit higher register. I couldn't do, you know, that, you know, type of stuff.
Right.
Chuck, he was just fantastic. I mean,
Chuck Schultz.
Like, I.
Metal God.
I can't name. You know, another vocalist that even comes close, right? I mean, like, unique, you knew it was Chuck.
Yeah,
it was,
totally.
You know, yeah, we did this benefit with you know, when
so aggressive,
when Seneca,
so aggro, but yeah. still could understand every word.
Just brilliant.
Which
and,
was important
and,
to
and
me.
I think also songwriting. So yeah. Songwriting.
Yeah.
You know, you have the, you know, the double kick. It's not anything like blazing fast. It's a little bit of speed, but nothing. And we were more of that kind of, you know, getting into that technical thrash fast, you know, still very European. So we didn't kind of fit that death metal bill that was coming up. This kind of genre of like slow, dirgy, you know, stuff. And so I think it was a good time for us to... We're on break or whatever for me to go back and be a nerd.
How did that,
I really wanted to do that too.
All right, take me inside the room. Who's in Believer at this time? Joey,
Scott Laird was, you know, obviously doing a lot of the violin stuff. It was Jim Winters filled in for some guitar stuff.
Okay.
But it was really just Joey and I. I mean, Joey and I, and, you know, yeah.
And you approach Believer, your band essentially kind of. I mean, it was you guys.
I think it was a good, like I said, there wasn't any like weirdness. There wasn't anything bizarre about it.
It wasn't like Joey showed up with a packed bag,
right.
Ready for tour.
And that was kind of freeing. I think we went into Dimensions like that, knowing that we're not going to tour with this because you can't. It would be cost prohibitive to bring an orchestra with you, right? So we knew, and that was kind of cool because that opened us up to doing it, to saying, like, we don't have to worry about touring this.
So let's stack 48
let's
tracks
do
of
it,
strings.
Man. Let's just go off. Let's go nuts, okay, right?
Okay, sure.
And so so that was kind of cool, right? But, yeah, I mean, after that, it was, you know, Joey then, you know, with Jeff, and they'd found a tier stuff. And, you know, I went back to school. And I was still, like, kind of tweaking around with stuff. Like, I helped them produce one of the Fountain of Tears CDs and stuff like that. We were always in touch. But I was in Baltimore, you know, so I was a little, you know, a couple hours away.
Where'd you go to school?
Johns Hopkins.
Okay.
And so, you know, I did that whole thing. And then it was funny. Like, the one guy I trained with who's, like, the father of cancer genetics, and he's a huge name. He's very famous from Johns Hopkins. And, you know, it was kind of like weird because it was like, I always like published my papers under Curtis Bachman versus Kurt Bachman, which was Believer. And there was an interview with Howard Hughes Medical Institution. They were doing an interview in the lab, and they interviewed me, and they put me in there as Kurt Bachman. And so Believer fans started making the connection. Because when they searched Kurt Bachman, this Howard Hughes Medical Institute article came up.
That's and probably right like, around when I figured out what was going on.
Yeah, so it was like kind of like out there then, right? And right. And it was interesting. And then, like, you know, people in the lab, you know, knew about it. And it was the Dimensions vinyl that I have hanging up here on the wall. That's from Korea. So they actually, that was one of the gifts when I was leaving the lab that they bought for me from Korea, you know, so that I would have the Dimensions on vinyl.
I have the same one. I stole mine from a radio station.
So it's pretty cool. And it was, you know, it was, but the, you know, there was all this stuff, and it was funny because like he came in and he's like, I read some article that you're like this, like, Christian death metal band or something. He's like, what does that mean? You want to like kill Christians? He's like, oh, it's like, please, I'm like, stop reading online. But it was a great time, and the training was just amazing.
What'd you go to school for? What degrees?
Cancer genetics. Cancer genetics.
Yeah. Why?
So I'm a cancer researcher.
Why?
You know, it was funny. It was interesting because when I first started graduate school, I was interested in diabetes. My mom had diabetes and everything, and I was very interested in diabetes research. And you have to do these rotations in different labs with different people. And my last lab rotation, I chose this what was called a cancer epigenetics lab. Epigenetics is different than genetics. We don't need to get into that, but you can Google it. And I fell in love with that research, and I stuck with that in the cancer realm. So that's what really kind of drove me to become a cancer researcher. That was my mentor was Steve Balin, and from Hopkins, and he's kind of like this pioneer of cancer epigenetics, and it was awesome. So that's what kind of got me, you know, like totally into that research, and so I've been a cancer researcher ever since.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Between you and me,
yeah,
are we close,
dude? Everybody, you can line up 10, say, prostate, lung, breast cancer patients. Like, I mean, 10 breast cancer patients, their genetics are all going to be different.
Mm.
You're right, and so the mutations that lead to their cancers are going to be completely different. So there's not one therapy that fits everybody, and that's what makes it very difficult. Now, we've made unbelievable strides. I mean, there's people that are surviving what they would have been, you know, 5 years ago. If we didn't have the treatments, they would have died instantly. I mean, and wow. Now we're keeping people alive. And I mean, I think the breast cancer research stuff has been amazing. I mean, more women that are being diagnosed with breast cancer are living full lives at this point, which is incredible. Right. So there's,
and you went after that with the song, The Brave.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
The song touched me.
And even the song, the t-shirts that we had made up for that,
mm-hmm.
A breast cancer patient came to Roz, you know, the artist who does all of our artwork and stuff, and she was losing her hair from chemo, and she goes, I want you to paint me. And he painted her. And that's the image on the t-shirts for The Brave. Yeah. It's awesome.
No way.
Yeah, and we donated all that to the breast cancer labs at Hopkins and stuff. Yeah.
Your first show back after the long hiatus was Allentown, yes. Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And there I stood.
Yeah.
And I remember the Brave shirt. They were all like, I guess they weren't
looking pink.
They weren't fluorescent, but they were really weird pink.
Yes.
And
with
I
the
just,
breast cancer.
And I just remember being like, dude, all the stories are true. Kurt went off the deep end. He's personally going after cancer. And now Believer is back and they're singing about like cancer research and stuff. And I was like, this is fucking crazy.
Exactly.
Kurt really took it personal, and he's going after cancer.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, that's been my other career, right? And I think it's interesting because people are like, wow, you were like this, like, you're like this heavy metal guy. And I'm like, I still am, you know, I'm like this starving musician.
Yeah, I'm in his house, guys. Trust me, there's plenty of metal laying around here.
Yeah. And it's like, that's who I am. And that's who I'll always be. But I think what, you know, people are always like, wow, that's like so different. Right. And I'm like, it's really not, because it's all about innovation. I go to work when it's about cancer, and I'm thinking, okay, how do I innovate? How do I cure this? How do I, you know, make patients' lives better? And for me, it really is about thinking outside that box. And I'm not talking like right outside the box. You can't even see the box anymore, right? Like, it's like, let's think about this, you know, and how do we find something that's going to help?
Right.
And for music, it's the same way. Believer has always been that way. We've always been like, let's think way outside the box. You know, let's use violins. Let's use this. Let's do something bizarre. Let's try something different that makes us uncomfortable. I mean, we listen to some of these songs. It's funny. Kevin will be like, man, this song's making me really uncomfortable. It's like, that's perfect.
Good.
Like, Kevin's our gauge for that. Like,
yeah.
we'll like a tune. We're like, Kev, what do you think? And he's like, this is making me really uncomfortable. I like it, but it's making me really uncomfortable. It's like, perfect. That's awesome, right? You know, it's like, I'm almost like when we write stuff right now, we're like, we want to almost feel like we didn't write it. Like, somebody else wrote this. This is bizarre. But again, I mean, it's like, so I've kind of filled my, you know, I think I've figured out what drives me, and that really is innovation. And you know, there's some times when I sit down, I'm like, man, why can't I be one of these guys that are just like, you have a career, you're making good money, you have a family, you're doing this. And it's like, it seems like so, like, less stressful to me.
Right.
But it's like, man, that is not me, man. It just isn't. I think it's what my mom thinks. I was, like, abducted by aliens and stuff. Maybe she's right. I don't know.
You can't prove it.
Can't prove
you weren't.
It's funny. Like, every time I see an alien, I, like, send her a picture. She's like, oh, that's your father. My mom's awesome. She's like, yeah, it's so funny. But yeah.
Will Ms. Bachman listen to this?
Yeah, she's always listening. You know, I'm her son.
Sure.
Like, she'll listen to us. She's like, oh, that's good.
I wanted to hear
this. And, you know.
I wanted to fact check, too, if there's something wrong that you're lying to me about.
She was there at the beer event, you know. She was there.
Yeah.
Joey's mom was there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just supportive. And I, you know, it's like, they're not going to be like, when we're not there, they're not going to be like putting this on and like, oh, this is really good. I'm listening.
Of course.
But, you know, always very supportive.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Kevin Lehman.
Kevin Lehman is so far the lowest response podcast that I've had.
That doesn't surprise me.
Of all the metal guitarists.
Does not surprise me whatsoever.
I had a lot of feedback saying, why did you, who? A lot of people just emailed me and just simply said, who?
So let me tell you something about Kevin. So
okay,
you notice as I was like cutting the chicken, he had to move away.
Yeah, why is that?
He has a problem with somebody cutting meat. And for the longest time, like whenever we would have like chicken or steak or anything like that, like somebody had to like cut it for him so that he could eat it.
He can't cut his own meat?
No, he had a, well, he can now. He's getting better, but for
why
a long
couldn't
time.
He cut his own meat?
It's a great question. Kevin, would you like to expand on that?
I can.
Get in here. You have to talk into a mic.
Come on in. Come into my podcast wing of Kurt's house.
So here, talk. Here, you got
to
explain.
No, I don't need to get that close. You can hear me, I'm sure. Okay. Let me see.
Okay, so why?
Kevin Lehman, everybody, why? Live on the podcast. Why can't you cut your own meat like a big boy?
I can, and I do.
But now you do.
But so I'll find the grain of chicken. I like to cut with the grain. I don't know. I don't like the way meat chews. I don't like the way it cuts. I don't know. I don't really have an answer for it.
Why'd you come in here then?
A sensible, logical answer. It's kind of like a phobia, isn't that right? Is that a phobia?
This is... worse content than your podcast. Talking about coconut oil with your dog's paws.
Can cut coconut.
welcome to Believer Universe.
Boy.
Better at it.
I'm the most normal one.
I drove an hour and a half for this. Seriously.
What?
Okay, now that you guys are in the room, what's the deal with this guy? Why is
talking to the mic?
Yeah, what's
come over here?
Tell me,
come over to the mic.
What the difficulty of having Kurt in the band is? What's this all about?
You want me to shut the door so you guys can?
This is like a confessional booth on a reality show.
Yeah, I'll shut the door. You can talk amongst yourselves.
Okay, so Kurt's out of the room, and we have Jeff and Kevin from Believer. And go ahead. What do you got? A little bonus content. I wasn't expecting to have all these other guests.
Nah, Kurt's great.
Stop. No, don't do that.
He's very organized and very scheduled.
Okay.
So we have a very interesting writing process where we don't know exactly, we know exactly what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, basically this day we're going to do bass for this song, or we're going to record vocals for this song or whatever, but we have nothing like prepared ahead of time.
Okay.
So it's like in this 1 hour, 2 hour period, we're going to accomplish this, and then we just go in and do it.
Mm.
So he gets a little, freaked out if we get behind schedule or whatever.
Right.
But Kevin.
One hell of a cook though.
Oh, he's amazing.
Yeah. Man, I just had... What did we have? Cauliflower roasted corn cream soup that I watched him make in front of us. He grilled up some sausage and some chicken. And what was the sauce we put on that chicken?
Something that he made.
Asian garlic
something.
Chinese condiment.
Wow.
Chinese condiment, that's amazing.
Yeah. I just ate like a champion, man.
Yeah, and he cooks... He does that every time we're down.
You should all be like the size of Crowbar.
We eat so well down here.
It's always healthy.
Yeah.
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 So, gluten free.
And everything's gluten free. When I got, when I started having, to go 100% gluten free, Kurt bought all kinds of ingredients and we did all kinds of experiments and he figured out some really amazing recipes. We always eat really well when we're down here.
Very good.
He's a really good guy.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
You can't talk.
There's not a lot to talk smack about him other than...
It's tough in his own house with his studio.
Yeah.
He sweats a lot?
Well, he does have sort of... He has like this acidic sweat. So his guitars...
Like superhero? Like he can fight
like
crime?
It ruins the electronics in his guitar.
Oh.
And it dissolves the
It dissolves. Yeah. It is really weird.
Ew. So he doesn't scallop his necks. His fingers just eat the wood away. Yeah. It just corrodes it.
Yeah.
Hmm. I see.
That's very strange.
Very acidic guy. He needs more bass in his life.
Yeah. Well, that's where I discovered that because we were, you know, I guess it might have been like, you know, when we were first time we were writing bass together or something, and, you know, passing them back and forth. And,
got it.
So, but yeah, now it's the only thing about Kurt is really is just, you know, don't give him a change to a mix last minute. I like giving him a hard time about that.
He doesn't like that.
No, he doesn't like that. But
you guys, just as we finished eating right now at 2:55 on Saturday, September 9th, Kurt got the email for the finalized artwork and mix for 3 of 5.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening. It's moving into position.
It's moving. Yep.
Cool. It's coming. Everybody be patient. By the time I get this out, who knows? It might be out.
Right.
But it's on its way. The artist, Roz?
Yes.
Said that this is probably the most eyebrow-raising artwork yet. Yeah, and I think he delivered. Because I saw it.
It'll be interesting to see how people react when they see it.
What do you think, Kevin? What are your thoughts?
I don't know anymore. Who knows what they'll think? All right, get out of my podcast.
And it's over. Covered just about your entire musical career.
Did you? Good. What else do you want to cover?
Well, I texted a handful of people saying, hey, I'm talking to Kurt Bachman. Do you have any stories? And now I have to scroll through and read them all down.
Great.
Liam Wilson of Dillinger Escape Plan says he knows for a fact Chris Penny was really, really into Believer. Obviously, the Extol guys as well, because I got beer...
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
I got that beer and sent it to Liam. He gave it to the guys next door, and they were flipping out over that.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
From the thing.
Wow.
He wants to hear your best or your favorite Jim Winters story.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I guess that's how Liam knows you guys.
Favorite Jim Winters story. There's so many.
You're going to have to pick... Seven or eight tops.
Wow, I'm just trying to think. What would be a good Jim Winters story? Jim.
Who's Jim Winters?
Spent a lot of time with Jim.
Who's Jim Winters?
So I first met Jim back in when Joey was playing bass. We had other guitar players. Joey knew Jim from school and growing up. They grew up close to each other, same small little town.
Okay.
And Jim showed up, and so he didn't have a guitar, you know, so he used one of my guitars, quiet. He's very quiet, just, you know, very reserved, but an excellent guitar player. I mean, I learned a lot from Jim. I learned a lot of you know, techniques and things like that from Jim.
Okay.
He was never, it was one of those things where, you know, he was our friend, good friend of ours, but, you know, and we wrote stuff together, but it was never like he was in the band, except for when Dimensions came around.
Okay.
Was when, you know, so he did a lot of the bass work and wrote the bass parts. That was really the extent of our Jim, like, being a part of this. He was even in the promos and stuff, the promo pictures and stuff like that with Scott Laird. It was like me, Joey, Jim, and Scott Laird.
Mm-hmm.
And, but he was really kind of doing the hardcore thing, right? Kind of the metal hardcore type of stuff. But no, I mean, we used to spend a lot of time just like listening to tunes. Jim would get like crazy demos from, I mean, really hard to find demos from trading and with people, you know, back in the day. And like the like Mr. Bungle, like I remember, like, you know, listening to Egg and some of the original tunes on like a demo. That was like years before the album actually came out and stuff.
Right.
So if it was hard to get, Jim could get it. Basically, there was, you know, and so we spent a lot of time just like, you know, listening to stuff and analyzing things and, you know, working on technique and but that was Jim, and you know, he did a couple solos, like, you know, throughout the Believer, you know, years and things. Very much a perfectionist, right? I mean, we'd spend like hours in here just going over things and stuff. It's always good to see him. Like, you know, he lives in Philly, so when we get there, mm-hmm. and there's shows, you know, he always shows up. And you know, Jim's Jim. I mean, he's I don't know how to describe Jim other than he's Jim. I mean, you got to meet him, you got to talk to him. And you know, he's always been a good guy. He's I think the thing that I liked about Jim for me, like as a songwriter and stuff like that, was, you know, and it goes back to the history of, you know, the friendship and stuff, was very transparent. Like if he thought it sucked, he would tell me.
He'd tell you?
Yeah.
He's that guy.
It's lame and so, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But Jim, I mean, it's great because like Jim's vegetarian, like you're vegan and like, I don't know if he's vegan or vegetarian. I don't know, but maybe he's vegan. But I can remember, like, we would, when like kind of the straight edge hardcore stuff started coming out and vegetarianism, Jim and I were like, we were kids, right? We're like, let's become a vegetarian. So we'd like go and like buy cucumbers and like, you know, we had no idea what it meant to be a vegetarian, like, you know, be healthy vegetarian, right?
Okay.
Yeah. You know, obviously, like I stopped. Jim kept, you know, Jim learned how to do it and stuff like that. But that was pretty funny. And we used to like go, let's become vegetarian. So we'd stop off and get cucumbers and carrots. And we'd like be sitting there in my car driving to a show, like just eating raw vegetables and stuff.
It was pretty vegetarian.
It was pretty funny.
It's pretty hardcore.
We had no idea what that meant, though.
Nice.
Like we would have died.
We would have died.
Yeah.
Clank.
Oh no.
Yes.
Clank's a great guy.
Darren D'Alosa.
Yes.
I read this to you before, so let's not pretend that it's not for the first
time. Oh, the guitar, the neck.
I had an old Charvel guitar of Kurt's with a scalloped neck that I was thinking of buying. Circle of Dust was playing in Wisconsin, and a kid backstage knocked it over and cracked the headstock. I had to basically go through the club's insurance to get the money for him, and then decided that I didn't want to buy it, which really sucked, and I felt bad. So ask him about that, I guess.
So that was the newspaper money guitar. Yeah, that was that one with the beautiful neck. I mean, the neck was like the best.
Oh, the guitar that your mom took you to Maryland to buy?
Yeah, that was that guitar, yeah.
Some dude knocked over?
That was the guitar, yeah.
Oh.
It's okay. I mean, like, it... You know, I mean, that was the thing. You know, I've had Paul Reed Smiths that were like custom made. Paul signed the back. You know, I don't have them. You know, I was never like this collector. I was never had this kind of collector mentality about instruments. I always wanted them to be something that I used and played. And if I didn't, I felt bad.
Mm.
Right? You know, somebody else should be playing this then, you know. And
oh, I get that. So, okay, that's cool.
So, yeah, so I'd get rid of them and stuff, you know. So it wasn't like I was, you know, destroyed or anything about that. You know, I mean, it happens, right? It's an accident. It wasn't like anything intentional or anything like that, so it's fine.
I have to read something else from Clank that I saved.
All right.
Referring to you, he is literally the main reason and biggest influence why I play guitar. Without Believer, there would be no Clank. I sat for hours every day playing along to the Extraction from Mortality vinyl, trying to nail his insane picking and his riffs. He made me want to be a better guitarist and had the most impact on me.
Wow, that's humbling.
And I said, wow, I will read that to him word for word. And that's... he said it's all true and he's a great guy.
Wow, that's amazing, actually. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's humbling. That's nice.
Imagine trying to learn guitar parts on vinyl. Because then when, dude, you want to wind it back, you have to pick up the needle. You never drop it in the right place.
I know. What a pain in the ass. Yeah, that is. That's crazy. That's cool, though. That's nice. It's very nice of him to say that.
He's a great guy.
He's a great guy. He's I mean, for us, you know, he's been very supportive. I mean, he's kind of like our own little, like, Believer Street team when it comes to, you know, just, you know, putting the name out there, you know, reposting things, whatever it is. Like, he's been one of those guys that's just super supportive. And, yeah, that's cool. It's really nice of him. I'm sorry I ruined his life. No, I'm just he'd be so much better guitar player if it wasn't for me.
My buddy Josh, the guy who came to the thing, he asked, "What inspired you to?" I'm rephrasing this. What inspired you to go after cancer as hard as you are?
Yeah, so I mean, like we talked about,
I guess you kind of answered it before,
you know, I was really into the diabetes research at the time, and then I did this. It was a 3-month stint in a cancer research lab, and that's what, you know, I kind of fell in love with the research that they were doing. You know, it's one of those things where it touches everybody's life, you know, and it was difficult. It was quite hard to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it still is. And, but that was, yeah, I mean, that was, I kind of fell in love with the research, kind of the last minute. Yeah.
Mark Garza from Embodiment and the Famine.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him if you had anything to ask Kurt Bachman, and he said, no. Just tell him he was a huge influence for sure.
Wow, that's cool. It's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Feel bad for these people.
I'm here because you were a huge influence on me too. So just
so
take it.
Sorry.
Just
take, I'd like it to take like this opportunity to apologize.
Just take it
to
like
all
a
of
man.
Those people.
Let me tell you how
my quote unquote influence.
Let me tell you the headspace that I'm in. That I drove all the way down to this guy's house because he's such an influence musically, and the dude made me cauliflower soup, and I was like, I don't like cauliflower. And he's like, shut up and eat it. It's gonna be good for you. And I'm like, okay.
It doesn't taste like cauliflower.
No, it didn't. It all tasted right. Rad. It tasted like. Yeah. I had like some sort of like a cream of mushroom vibe. Yeah, it was really good.
Good.
Where'd it go? Hold on a second. Here's where all the editing comes in.
It's all right. That's your job. You're just going to get a dump of an MP3.
Lance Garvin.
Oh, boy. Did Lance say?
Talking to Kurt Bachman tomorrow. You got anything? With 3 M's. We almost got into a bar fight while recording in Habit. We just wanted to eat, but some northern rednecks didn't like our hair,
yep.
Including Kurt and Joey's.
Absolutely.
I said, what the heck? He said, maybe he won't remember that, but it...
I totally remember that. Joey remembers it.
But he said, if not, it did happen.
Yeah, Joey remembers that much better than I do.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, they're from Little Rock, where it's like, you know, you like violence is there all the time.
That's
and
what,
it was like,
do,
and
right.
It was like, you know, I think somebody came in, you know, Joey Jeff, right? So it's like, you know, it's like he comes in. Somebody came in. I don't know who it was. I don't just they were giving us grief about.
I don't picture Joey
hair.
As a fighter,
dude. Joey like starts like mouthing off these guys.
Okay,
like
that I picture.
So the LS guys are like. dude, what are you doing? Like, they, because I mean, in their world, it's like they're gonna pull a gun and there's gonna be bullets flying.
Gotcha.
And stuff like that. So right. it was a tense moment for them.
A little safer out here in Lancaster County. Exactly. Huh? Yeah, right.
So, but yeah, I kind of remember that Joey. I mean, yeah, he knows it. He probably knows all the gory details about everything because he's like.
Okay.
That dude's got the most incredible memory.
So what happened that it didn't turn into a full-on
No, it wasn't
fight?
A full-on
Who talked it down? Who barked that thing back
in order? I have no idea. I don't think they were there staying. I think they were kind of in there maybe picking something up or picking up food or something.
Okay.
And, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. We would have won.
I'm also supposed... yeah, I bet. You're also supposed to ask about... The Phoenix. Or Sphincter. Ha ha ha.
Wait, what?
I don't know. That's all it says.
I have no idea.
You know what
that
means?
This is something, yeah, so this is something we should phone a friend. Let me phone a friend. I should probably know what that means, but I don't know what that means. The Phoenix or Sphincter.
To the car?
I don't think so.
Who you calling? Who you calling?
Joey.
Nice.
That's his ring back tone. He was working. Like, he was, like, doing, like, house stuff today. He's not going to answer. He might be out riding, too.
Your call has been forwarded to a...
Yeah.
All right, so we'll have to find out about...
I can barely hear that. Was that Prince?
No. That was...
Is that
an
R.A. Speedwagon?
No. It's, why am I blanking? He used to have ELO on there. I forget who that
is. Blanking. Okay. Well, we'll just edit that whole
thing. Anyway,
out.
Yeah.
Dude, DJ from Living Sacrifice is texting me right now. This is live.
Okay.
He just texted me and said, sorry, have you already talked to Kurt? And I said, no, I'm talking to him right now. And the bubbles are literally going. So this is coming in hot, dude. Oh,
wait.
I have no idea what he's going to say.
Dude.
Dude, sorry, hey. Man. I was washing my freaking hands.
All right.
Joey!
We're doing the podcast right now. So wait, what is your ringback tone again?
Mine?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it the Moonlight is Feels Right?
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah.
Who is it?
Moonlight Feels Right by Starbuck.
Starbuck. So Lance was like saying, he talked about the bar thing, you know, where you were like giving the person crap. They were giving us crap about our hair. But he said mention the Phoenix or Sphincter. Do you know what Lance is talking about?
The what?
Phoenix or Sphincter or something? The Phoenix?
The Phoenix? Yeah. Sphincter?
By the way, I'm putting you up to the mic so that you're recorded.
What? Okay, hold on. I have an idea.
Remember the Phoenix Eye?
What's that?
What do you mean, what's that?
Oh, the Phoenix Eye Kung Fu Punch. Oh, is that what you saw about the Sphincter
because,
Punch?
Because I think that was that was one of those things where I don't know. I think we showed him the Phoenix or something one time. Did the
the Kung Fu punch?
Yeah,
it's a Kung Fu punch technique.
Hold on one second. Okay, I'm gonna call Lance.
Oh, he's calling Lance. Hold on.
We're going meta. We're getting inside the inside now.
We're breaking like through three walls.
Yeah, this is crazy. This is un. No one does this on podcasts. Come on, Lance, don't let me down.
He's not going to answer.
Hello,
Lance.
What's up?
Yo,
what's up, man?
I'm recording the podcast right now with Kurt.
Kurt.
And
what's up, Lance?
Who's that? And Kurt.
What's going on, man? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Kurt has
man,
Joey.
I'm good.
Kurt has Joey on his phone on speaker, and I have you on my phone on speaker because no one can remember this Phoenix Sphincter thing you're talking about.
No, he's talking about the. Is he talking about
the Phoenix? Remember, the Phoenix is like you're what are your pointer finger, whatever that is.
Yes.
And you pull it in, you know, for to hit people with.
Yes. It's the kung fu punch. Yeah, Joey yeah, just figured that out.
That's what I was talking about. You guys would hit us and it would really hurt.
Joey got it. Okay, all right, we got it.
Joey nailed it.
All right.
I nailed it.
And the bar fight that almost happened because of the Pennsylvanian rednecks.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Yes, we remember that, dude.
Riding with snowmobiles.
Yes, we remember.
Except us.
Okay. You jogged Kurt's memory. I think we're good now.
Right on.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Now, I don't know who said, somebody said the Phoenix and some, I don't know. I thought it was Joey. I'm going to blame it on Joey about the sphincter thing.
Yeah, the sphincter punch. Yeah, blame it on Joey.
Yeah, that works.
Man, I miss you guys.
Yeah, we miss you too, man.
What are you guys up to? Are you guys playing music? Or?
Yeah, we're just recording, like, just lame stuff. I'll send it to you. Make sure I get your email, dude. I'll forward you a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, dude, that'd be awesome.
I'll give it to him.
That would be sweet.
Lance, it's really cool. Lance, it's really terrible. It doesn't sound anything like
it's
the
horrible, old
stuff.
Dude.
It's not good.
Man.
Yeah, it's not good.
Dude, it's so bad.
You know, like the other night, I had to pull out because Travis reminded me of this stuff. I pulled out Extraction and listened to that. Well, I listened to it all the way through. Man, it's such a good album. I'm not being weird or anything, but
dude,
I am
thanks.
A little bit.
No, thanks,
but, man. I love that album. It's the you guys' guitar, like crazy guitar picking, or like that's what inspired us. We're like, hey, we can do. No, we can't do this. We try to do it.
But what about Joey's limp-wristed drumming techniques?
No, I know that I don't really like him.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you a story about
you hearing this job.
No, where is it? Can Joey hear me?
Joey, can you hear him?
It's cutting in and out. It's so tough with my awesome vintage phone.
He said he can't hear with his awesome vintage phone. You know, Dobb has like a flip phone from 2001
yeah.
or something.
Well, he's awesome. Believer guys are awesome.
Right. You know, when you're supposed to donate an old cell phone to a soldier, Joey reached into that and just took one. I think.
No, man. That's what I was listening to an Extraction album the other day and listened to it all the way through. Just the guitar and the drumming and everything. It's still like.
It's legit, it
blows
right?
People away today.
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
Man.
It's why I'm here. And Kurt's like, oh, no, it's not that great.
It's very
that's
nice.
Why I'm here.
Oh, man, that's crazy.
Yep.
It's very nice of you.
Let me tell you all a story about Joey Dobb.
Uh-oh.
Joey, can you hear me?
Yeah, sort of.
Sort of? I went to Dale's Drum Shop in Harrisburg many moons ago. And
oh, right.
One of those guys who's worked at Dale's for like 300 years confirmed that Tama ripped you off because you had the idea to bend cymbal stands towards
oh, yeah.
you?
Yeah, it was a still hi-hat stand, but I originally just kind of bent the top and bent the rod, too.
Right.
Like, years before they came up with it.
Right. So, when you have hardware that's already, like, pre-angled instead of just, like, adjusting it yourself, apparently somebody at Dale's is like, I will go to bat for that Joey Dobb guy. He thought of it first, and he thinks that a major company ripped him off.
Yeah, dude. That's awesome.
Mine had
awesome.
A little bit tighter of a bend. Mine was bent pretty good, but it still worked. Brought it in there close.
That's great.
There you go.
All right, can we get off the phone now?
Yeah, I don't want to talk to these guys anymore. There's too many drummers on this podcast.
That's awesome. That's not good. Too many drummers on phones.
On the phones. Yeah, the drummer thing just brought this down to very like subpar podcast.
I'm
levels.
Enjoying it, but no one else is listening. I get it. All right, it's cool.
You know, can we get back to like actually talking about music and musicianship?
No, I want to hear about the sphincter punch thing. Like, I'm into this now.
Now that I know what it is, I'll tell you what it is.
All right, Lance, thanks, dude. We had to phone a friend.
Yeah, dude.
Talk to you. I'll put you in touch with Kurt. I'll put you in touch with Kurt.
Yeah, do it, man.
All right,
awesome.
Man.
Good to hear from you.
Later, bro.
All right, bro. See you, man.
Later, Lance.
All right, Dob. I will talk to you
all
later.
All right, I'm going
to
eat now.
All right, all man. Right. Later.
Later.
This is going to be a son of a bitch to edit. Dude, I bet that sounds terrible.
I think it's okay, though.
You think so?
Yeah, let's wait.
Phoenix Sphincter Finger Punch.
All right, wait. There's a style of kung fu called Southern Praying Mantis, right, which I was a student of.
Oh, okay.
And so the fist that is made is called the Phoenix Eye Fist.
Show me.
And so it's like this, okay?
So it's kind of like he's making a fist, but his index, his pointer finger knuckle is out, almost like a trigger on a gun.
Yeah, so it's very sharp here, right? So
it's very, that hurts.
So for like pressure points and stuff like that.
Okay, all right.
So when Lance is like, yeah, they used to hit us.
He used to hit us, and it really hurt.
It's awesome. It's like, yeah, well, you know, when they got out of line or they couldn't like pull off a part or something like that.
You would punch living sacrifice. We had to
get them in line a little bit.
It's good.
Yeah, they were young kids.
Good. And, nice to see you're being tolerant and patient. So, punching kids. Yeah, that's good.
Discipline is very important.
Sure.
And, we didn't spare the rod.
Spare the rods, spoil the metal.
So that's what's funny. That's funny that he remembers that. Oh my gosh, that's great. And then Joey like came up with it.
I told you this is going to be worth coming back. What are you talking about? Okay, going back to DJ, dude. I have no idea. I'm reading this live right now. Cecil the Roadie, who also roadied for Poison.
Yep.
So Believer and Poison had the same roadie. Ha! Very funny guy. We ended up calling all of our roadies Cecil in his honor.
No way. That's awesome.
And how convenient it was during the recording of Inhabit that the pub was in snowshoe walking distance from the house.
Yeah, it was like snow, yeah.
And perhaps ask him about those Sepultura remixes, that him and Joey were working on back in the day.
Yeah.
And let him know that I said hello.
That's awesome.
There you go, DJ. That's happened live.
Yeah, so he brought up the bar thing again. So Roadrunner, we were doing a remix of Dead Embryonic Cells. And yeah, they sent us the 2-inch tape of it, and we did a bunch of different remixes of Dead Embryonic Cells for Roadrunner.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if any of them were put out. I think we have them. You know, they sent us, you know, we have them, you know, digitally at this point or whatever. But yeah, we did a bunch of different Dead Embryonic Cell remixes.
No way!
Yeah, because we had our own studio. We were our own producers, and we did all that stuff. So
yeah
it was cool. With Ted Hermanson. Ted Hermanson was,
yeah,
you know, our buddy. And Yeah, so we were doing it in his studio.
How did the studio come about?
So after Sanity Obscure, you know, we were getting, especially Joey, you know, we had Ted, who we worked with, a good friend of ours, and they were very much into the recording technology stuff. And so we said, look, let's make a business pitch. I had made a whole proposal to Roadrunner to say, listen, rather than us, you know, throwing our budget into a studio somewhere and having to pay for hotel rooms or whatever, you know, if you give us our budget,
mm-hmm.
and allow us to buy this new digital gear that was coming out, ADATs were just coming out. I think Duran Duran beat us. They were the only band that beat us to putting out something on digital, all digital, digital, digital.
Really?
Yeah. And I think they did it in the guitar player's house and in his, you know, his living room or something. I forget what album that was from Duran Duran, but you know, Roadrunner was like, yeah, they're, you know, their demos sound really good. You know, let's, I mean, they trusted us. And so we went out and bought a, you know, bunch of ADATs, all the systems. And, it was at the time when you know, to like do any digital editing, we had to go out and buy, I remember this, I bought a 300 meg hard drive. It's huge. For $900.
Oh my God, it must have looked like a toaster.
And
right?
And we could get one song in there.
Oh my God.
To edit, you know, like beginning and end of the tune and stuff like that. Yeah, it was really wild. So
how many meg?
300.
Dude, my phone is 128.
Dude, it's 128 gigs.
I mean, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's
300
right.
Meg.
Meg. Okay, yeah, I'm not wrapping my head around the numbers.
So it was really wild But yeah, so they trusted us. So we basically built our own recording studio from that. Built it meaning like we got all the tech.
And, right. And is that what's in Joey's house?
No, that's all newer.
These are
those are, I would say that not newer, but that's probably like several years removed.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. No. Okay.
And yeah, and so that's what we did, and we recorded Dimensions by ourselves, and
right on,
you know, and then so I think Roadrunner heard that, and we mastered it at the Hit Factory in New York, and the mastering guy, we were in this beautiful mastering suite and everything, and the guy's like, wait, you guys did this at your house? And we were like, yeah.
Yep.
He's like, wow, this is pretty amazing, because like, you know, 48 tracks of violins and like all this stuff.
Right.
So yeah, so then they were like, yeah, you know, we want to do a remix of, you know, want to see, you know, Dead Embryonic Cells from Sepultura. That was like the big tune at the time.
Sure.
And stuff.
That's a killer song.
Yeah, we have a bunch of different versions of that, I think.
No way. Yeah. You look at dance remix?
It's kind of, and it wasn't totally like
a dance remix. Like a Fear Factory techno?
It was all Igor's drums and stuff like that.
Okay,
all
right.
We were bringing stuff in and out and
cool.
Messing with Max's vocals and stuff. Yeah.
Check that out.
Yeah, it was cool.
Jeff Ballou from The Crucified?
Yeah.
I said, talking to Kurt Bachman tomorrow, you got anything? He said, nope, tell him I love him. Oh, but I thought, if you and I start a side project, he's got a great name.
Oh, no.
Because my last name's Turner.
Oh, of course he's got a great name. We just need an overdrive person.
Right.
That's pretty funny.
Well,
that is pretty funny. That's great. He's a great guy.
He's awesome.
I miss these people, man. It's
yeah,
like,
man.
Yeah.
And,
that's great.
Last one, Captain Bruce. Oh, Sir Bruce.
Is he talking about hitting them again? That was funny. They used to hit us and it really hurt.
They used to hit us and it really hurt.
What if you get your parts right?
Yeah, don't screw up. He said, after Kurt and Joey produced Inhabit, we forevermore referred to them as Beer Lever. So talk to me about...
That's funny.
Yes. Talk to me about... That was
Beer
from,
Lever.
That was from Bruce.
And that was like that was our European name too. Like
right.
Beer Lever across Europe.
So tell me a little bit more about
producing. Of course, we spelled it B-I-E-R.
Oh, right. Europe. Sure. Very Euro.
Yes.
So talk to a little bit about producing Inhabit.
That was fun. We learned a lot technically, but it was I mean, that was our first like stint really hanging out with those guys for a long period of time.
Okay.
And it was good. I mean, because, you know, they're great musicians, and it was, you know, we wanted it to sound big and heavy. And yeah, Ted, we did a lot with Ted. And that we used the 300 meg hard drive again, one song per. A lot of the editing. We did some crazy stuff with the drums where we, like, you know, we had Lance's drums and we made them bigger. We flew back in at a separate track of the drums and, like, had it, like, milliseconds off from the original one. We were doing some, like, crazy,
wow,
like, editing stuff, you know, to make things. Yeah, it was.
So you watched Lance play Breathing Murder?
I don't know if I watched him. I was probably, like, sleeping or no yeah, yeah,
like that's him playing. This is pre Snap Grid. This is pre everything.
Oh, absolutely. Dude, amazing. Yeah,
such an inspiration.
No, it was great. I mean, no, it was crazy. Like I said, I mean, they were just great musicians, and so it was you know, Jason and Bruce, it was fun to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were open to, like, you know, production ideas and stuff, and mm-hmm. No, we had a great time. It was a blast.
And this would be when they recorded, if memory serves, the liner notes said that it was recorded in Springhouse.
So there was, like,
Springhouse, Pennsylvania.
So we did stuff in Springhouse too. The Dimensions, I mean, I'm a Sanity and Extraction, but
mm-hmm.
Some of it. Some of Inhabit was, we were in Joey's mom's house in her basement doing some stuff. I think we did vocals there. We did some of the guitars there. We did some, and then we did a lot of mixing and stuff over at Ted's, you know, where we did Dimensions and, you know, had all the ADATs and all the digital stuff. It was kind of like all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the Springhouse studio, yeah, I mean, that's where we did Extraction. We did a bunch of stuff there. Yeah.
What's in Springhouse?
Nothing. It's the studio, Morningstar Studio.
I mean, what's Morningstar Studio? I don't know if it's there. Some dude's house?
No, it was an actual recording studio.
Oh, okay.
The official recording studio, yeah.
I wonder where it is.
Yep. I don't know if it's in existence anymore.
Right.
That I don't know.
That's it. Those are my only responses. That's all I got, man.
Awesome.
Dude, thank you so much for doing
Absolutely.
This. Absolutely. And thank you, the rest of Believer, for
letting me borrow. Anything else we want to put out there?
Yeah, man, put it out there.
I don't think so.
Want to premiere one of these new songs on my podcast?
No.
Son of a bitch. I guess I got free chicken. I shouldn't push my luck.
There will be more Believer beer. We brewed another batch.
Oh, good.
That'll be ready in the spring. It's in the barrels now.
Right on.
So
it's delicious. Give me two bottles while I was here.
Be more Believer beer coming.
Yeah.
Stand by.
Feels right. Moonlight. Feels right.
Kevin, you have to leave.
Yeah, I do have to leave.
Yeah. I'm more comfortable with that as well. I'm
tired of seeing you.
All right,
brother.
Travis.
Good to see you, man, as always.
Man.
Take care.
Careful driving. Yeah, man, is this live? Are we on?
Yeah, we're on. Cool. Well, it's live.
They're not live, but I mean...
It's live.
Yeah. So this needs to be included.
I might keep this in if you say something funny.
Yeah, won't happen.
Here's something funny. Kevin Lehman.
That worked.
He's really picking on
good.
You. If I were him, I'd slip that pebble out into the Jelly Bellies. Show him.
No.
Teach him a lesson.
No, he's got his teeth.
There it is.
Oh, man. Wow, thanks, dude. That's a nice compliment.
Got nice teeth.
So. Nice teeth.
That's the only thing he said nice about you.
I know. And clear.
As the Story Grows is a part of Lavera Productions.
High five. Follow me on Twitter and Facebook at As the Story Grows and visit the site at asthestorygrows.com. Make sure to subscribe to the show so you don't miss anything. Visit the Bandcamp link in the notes of this show for free cover songs, some free tunes, and merch. If you like what you heard and would like to help, there's a Patreon link on every episode, or you can look for the dollar sign on the website for one-time donations. If you can't afford to donate, that's totally okay. Tell a friend, retweet me, and give me a good rating on iTunes. Send your guest requests and any feedback for the show to asthestorygrows@gmail.com, and thank you so much for listening today.
Take care. Bye.